You'll hear an interview in which a deep-sea mapmaker called Sally Gordon and a marine biologist called Mark Tompkins are talking about making maps of the ocean floor. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part 3.
Tonight we're talking to mapmaker Sally Gordon and marine biologist Mark Tompkins about making maps of the ocean floor. Sally, how did you get started on your career? Tell us about your first expedition.
As a recent graduate, I was fortunate to receive a full-paid internship aboard an exploration vessel to participate in sonar mapping. I was delighted to be selected, but I was extremely nervous about living at sea for 3 weeks. Fortunately, everyone was really friendly and helpful to me as the new kid on board. On my very first mapping expedition, we collected some data which really changed the way that they thought about geology in that area. And from then on, I was completely hooked and inspired by the thought of repeating the success. Now a lot of my shipmates call me the Mapping Queen.
Mark, how far have we progressed in terms of researching the ocean floor?
Well, here's a troubling fact. Most of us know more about planets than we do about the depths of the ocean. And yet, with volcanoes, deep valleys, mountain peaks, and vast plains, the landscape of the ocean floor is as varied and magnificent as it is on the surface of some astronomical body. 95% of the ocean floor remains unexplored, which is nothing compared to how small a part of space we have reached, of course. But mapping the ocean floor is very technologically challenging, and is progressing much more slowly than space exploration.
Sally, I know you were wanting to make a point about public attitudes towards deep-sea exploration.
Yes, thanks. I do think it's challenging to get the public engaged about deep-sea exploration. I think you can get people excited about some parts of marine science. People love to see footage of coral reefs, for example. These are bright, well-lit portions of the ocean, but really just its skin. But the depths are so far removed from people physically, so it's a case of out of sight and out of mind, I suppose, which is a shame and so unnecessary.
Here's a question for both of you. Where does the funding for these projects come from?
The government funding has tended to dry up in recent years, and a lot of corporations have really taken up some of the slack. Our project is financed by Allinson Insurance. It's a very interesting model for ocean science because it's like, instead of sponsoring a football team, you're sponsoring a very important scientific mission that really can make a difference. And people notice that.
It's an interesting development. I think corporates are starting to see the opportunity here for getting massive brand exposure in an area that there aren't too many competitors. And I don't think a government-funded project could have worked at the speed that we've been working at.
There are a lot of mineral resources under the sea. Mark, aren't some nations, particularly island nations, rushing in to exploit this?
Some are, though, of course, without knowing the shape of the ocean floor, we'll never realize the economic viability of these resources. Some island nations have been trying to extend their territorial sea claims further under one interpretation of maritime law. I think who owns these resources is a huge issue, and particularly who might be responsible for any damage done to the ocean if these resources are mined. Who would be liable?
With all the new technology, our knowledge of the oceans is increasing. Where do you both see this leading?
More awareness leads to more engagement and, I hope, more responsibility. People would be seeing landscapes everywhere, as gorgeous as the Himalayas or the Grand Canyon, and they'd be seeing them for the first time, because these are places that no human had ever seen before. We've already witnessed this with photos of galaxies coming back from the latest space probes.
I think the only reason we haven't seen these places is we haven't had the will to go find them. It'll make people think before they're careless about pollution or eating seafood unsustainably, because they'd really know how beautiful the ocean is, and that it's not just a big dumping ground. It's our planet, not some distant galaxy we're talking about here after all.
Now you'll hear part three again.
Tonight we're talking to mapmaker Sally Gordon and marine biologist Mark Tompkins about making maps of the ocean floor. Sally, how did you get started on your career? Tell us about your first expedition.
As a recent graduate, I was fortunate to receive a full-paid internship aboard an exploration vessel to participate in sonar mapping. I was delighted to be selected, but I was extremely nervous about living at sea for 3 weeks. Fortunately, everyone was really friendly and helpful to me as the new kid on board. On my very first mapping expedition, we collected some data which really changed the way that they thought about geology in that area, and from then on, I was completely hooked and inspired by the thought of repeating the success. Now a lot of my shipmates call me the Mapping Queen.
Mark, how far have we progressed in terms of researching the ocean floor?
Well, here's a troubling fact. Most of us know more about planets than we do about the depths of the ocean. And yet, with volcanoes, deep valleys, mountain peaks, and vast plains, the landscape of the ocean floor is as varied and magnificent as it is on the surface of some astronomical body. 95% of the ocean floor remains unexplored, which is nothing compared to how small a part of space we have reached, of course. But mapping the ocean floor is very technologically challenging and is progressing much more slowly than space exploration.
Sally, I know you were wanting to make a point about public attitudes towards deep-sea exploration.
Yes, thanks. I do think it's challenging to get the public engaged about deep-sea exploration. I think you can get people excited about some parts of marine science. People love to see footage of coral reefs, for example. These are bright, well-lit portions of the ocean, but really just its skin. But the depths are so far removed from people physically, so it's a case of out of sight and out of mind, I suppose, which is a shame and so unnecessary.
Here's a question for both of you. Where does the funding for these projects come from?
The government funding has tended to dry up in recent years, and a lot of corporations have really taken up some of the slack. Our project is financed by Allenson Insurance. It's a very interesting model for ocean science because it's like, instead of sponsoring a football team, you're sponsoring a very important scientific mission that really can make a difference. And people notice that.
It's an interesting development. I think corporates are starting to see the opportunity here for getting massive brand exposure in an area that there aren't too many competitors. And I don't think a government-funded project could have worked at the speed that we've been working at.
There are a lot of mineral resources under the sea. Mark, aren't some nations, particularly island nations, rushing in to exploit this?
Some are, though, of course, without knowing the shape of the ocean floor, we'll never realize the economic viability of these resources. Some island nations have been trying to extend their territorial sea claims further under one interpretation of maritime law. I think who owns these resources is a huge issue, and particularly who might be responsible for any damage done to the ocean if these resources are mined. Who would be liable?
With all the new technology, our knowledge of the oceans is increasing. Where do you both see this leading?
More awareness leads to more engagement and, I hope, more responsibility. People would be seeing landscapes everywhere, as gorgeous as the Himalayas or the Grand Canyon, and they'd be seeing them for the first time, because these are places that no human had ever seen before. We've already witnessed this with photos of galaxies coming back from the latest space probes.
I think the only reason we haven't seen these places is we haven't had the will to go find them. It'll make people think before they're careless about pollution or eating seafood unsustainably, because they'd really know how beautiful the ocean is, and that it's not just a big dumping ground. It's our planet, not some distant galaxy we're talking about here after all.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.